This program is taking a break, so today's episode is a repeat.
Koto katoa and welcome to Well with Anahila, the Labour List MP based in Papakura. Today we've got Suzanne Karush and we are going to be having a conversation about the Awhenuitia Community Health Centre in Manurewa, in Papakura. And Suzanne is going to talk to us about her role as the Service Manager of Māori Mental Health and Integrated Care Services, County Smanako Health. Suzanne, welcome to Well with Anahila. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me along.
Oh, thank you for coming along. Before we talk about your work and everything else, it'd probably be good to let everybody know a little something about yourself.
Yeah, happy to. I'm originally from Northern Ireland, did a bit of a stopover in Canada, which is where I've got this bit of a mixed accent.
Yes.
And I've been in New Zealand now for just over 25 years. I was on holiday, met a lovely Kiwi, and came here, and two children later, I've been here the whole time and love it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're Northern Ireland, Canada, and now you're here in New Zealand, and 25 years. And why County Smanako Health?
I was really fortunate that when I first arrived in the country, it was following the Mason Review, and a lot of the positions that were advertised were for mental health. Mm. And I was very fortunate to start with one of the first community mental health services with counties, the community support work services, and have stayed with counties the entire time. I live in the area, live in Manurewa, love the people, love the work, and have been very fortunate to have had lots of different experiences working within mental health to my current position as service manager, as you said, for Māori mental health and the services in the south.
See, that's why I slipped Manurewa somewhere along the line. I knew you were from. There was a Manurewa connection. Mm. Actually, it almost felt like an Irish joke, you know, like there was an Irish and a New Zealander who met in Canada. But we won't go there. So tell us. So I came along to a reopening or relaunch of the service. So tell us about the service.
Yeah, so the Awhenuitia site's been there for a number of years on Great South Road in Papakura. And it's had three very separate, very distinct health services operating from it. We had the mental health services, we had community health, and we had the public health nurses. Mm. And each three of them worked as separate siloed services. And what we realized is actually most of us on a number of occasions were supporting the same whānau within the community. Mm. We were going to the same driveways. Yes. We may not be doing the same individuals, but we were doing, you know, we might have been seeing dad and somebody else was seeing grandma or uncles or what have you.
So you had the three services going to one house.
Yeah, all separately.
Times.
And, you know, there's something to be said for having shared care planning and, you know, working together. There also were some practical things we needed to look at. We were growing out of that site. The site needed a little bit of refurbishment, a little bit of a touch-up. So it was an opportunity to really relook at what we were doing there. And the whole focus that we've been doing across all of counties, Manukau DHB, has been integration, about working closer with our communities, working closely with primary care, and I guess working with that local community. And it didn't make sense to have the configuration we did. So twofold, I guess, what we did is we wanted to do some building repairs, some building relocation, and also take that as an opportunity to merge those three teams together so that we actually could have integration of our specialist services. And instead of, for example, having two separate waiting areas, two separate front doors, let's have one front door where we welcome everybody in. And then depending on what their need is, we support them with seeing the right clinician.
So let me, I came to the place for the first time, was it a couple of weeks ago? Now, you were all located and have three different receptions.
Previously, we used to.
Oh, right. So now we have the one front door. Oh, that's, I would say that's world leading, but it took you guys a while to get there.
It did. And look, some of it was just because I guess services traditionally have just carried on and done their own thing. And this was an opportunity, particularly from a mental health perspective, when we know that so many people who have mental health issues sadly also have chronic physical health issues, and people with a mental health issue quite often have a shorter lifespan. Mm. So we need to bring the two together. Yes. We can't have mental health and physical health being treated completely separately. Mm. And this was a real opportunity to practically, I guess, get clinicians who are working with the same people in the same room, talking. And build up each other's knowledge and confidence so that we can also share a little bit about mental health with our physical health colleagues and vice versa, an opportunity for us to learn a little bit more about that.
Mm. So what feedback have you received from the service users or you're seeing yourself since the integration?
Yep, so we're still fairly new with it. As you mentioned, it was only a couple of weeks ago that we finished the actual building changes and had staff then sitting together as opposed to separately. So we're still working through that, but definitely the opportunities are there for a lot more casual conversations, an opportunity for people to realize that there's other specialties that we can form relationships with. So in mental health, we don't have dietitians, but there's dietitians in the other team.
Yes.
So what a great way to be able to share resource and knowledge.
Mm.
From a FIOTA perspective, a service user perspective, the front, I've got to say, and you would have seen it, we're really proud of the work which was supported by MIT to design a really nice front entrance, a really lovely paving which welcomes people through into what we've called the Nomai room, which essentially is our welcome room. We've tried to make it feel a little bit more like a living room as opposed to a traditional reception area. We wanted it to feel warm and friendly. People come in, they get greeted, they're offered a cup of tea or coffee, and it's a chance hopefully to relax people, because sometimes people get a little bit hesitant or a little bit concerned when they're coming into a healthcare provider. The chance of being able to provide much more of a welcoming environment was top of the list for us.
Well, the feeling I got there, because I always drive past the place, I'd never actually turned to go in and have a look. But the people, the way they were engaging with each other, the telling of the history of the place, that was, I would say that connected the, I was new to the place, that gave me an indication of what who works in the space. So just that leadership, I just want to acknowledge that leadership. People, it was a great program, the relaunch or the reopening, but also as you're talking about having that space where people are welcome as they enter the place, it has to come from somewhere. So I just acknowledge you and everybody else that worked there. There was a woman that was acknowledged at the launch that everybody needed to have one of those persons working.
Was that Katrina Wahinui, who was one of our speakers, who gave a bit of a history of the building and a history of the land?
Katrina gave a history of the land, but there was a woman who did the background work.
Glennis.
Everybody had to have a Glennis.
Glennis was our Bob the Builder and our completer finisher. She was fantastic. So we had obviously managers from the three different areas working together on this, but we also have full-time jobs. Glennis does too, but actually we were able to tap into her to really help coordinate what has been quite a long journey of once we had conceptualized what we wanted to do, then putting it in place. And one of the most amazing things that she was able to do was to build a relationship with MIT, with the horticultural students. That was an idea that came out of a bit of a informal conversation about, oh gosh, we need a bit of hand to think about what we could do for landscaping and how could we do things a bit different. And we also wanted to make use of some land that we had over to the side, which previously, many, many, many years ago when Kingseat was in operation, it used to be a kumara and potato patch. So we knew it had previously been used for crops. And so we thought, wouldn't it be great to be able to make use of that land, to be able to share it with Fiora, for people to be able to, I guess, learn some basic skills around gardening, but also to enjoy the harvest. So we were able to engage with MIT. They were really excited. And so their students came along, and from scratch, as part of their curriculum, they designed the whole layout of what we have as our community garden, as well as being the ones who did all of the paving, the fantastic paving leading up to the front door and the landscaping around our buildings.
Also, the students did that. I see there's like 30 fruit trees types as well as the kumara, and there's a worm farm and a compost bin.
Yeah, we wanted to have a focus on sustainability, a focus on how we could develop an area that felt warm and friendly and relaxing so that people either before their appointments or after their appointments or staff, if they wanted somewhere to go, there's nothing nicer than sitting within a garden environment. We have set up a group called the Friends of the Garden, which is supported by some of our NGO partners, Fiora, and some staff who've got a real interest in gardening. And they come together to keep the gardens looking good, to be able to decide what crops are going to be planted. And then people are welcome to go and help themselves. So as the produce ripens and gets ready, they can go and help themselves. Go and get some lettuce or some strawberries in the summer, and hopefully those fruit trees in a year or two will actually have quite a bit of harvest as well.
I could actually taste the jam that's going to be made from those.
Yeah, that might be one of the things we do too.
So tell us about the program. So how does one get referred to how did Fiora come through the DHB?
So for those services, they're actually specialist health services. So referrals usually come through people's GPs. A lot of work, particularly from a mental health perspective, is already done within primary care and within a number of agencies within the community. But where some additional support, or there's maybe a bit more of a level of complexity, referrals will come through to secondary services. Our role really is to provide that expert advice and support, but to also look at where we can maintain linkages with those community providers, whether it be the GP, whether it be a community organization, etc. In mental health, we're also incredibly lucky to be partnered with a number of non-government organizations, NGOs. And they are able to support people to re-engage with their local community, to help with some of the more practical aspects of, I guess, staying well and being engaged. So we focus on the clinical aspects and are partnered up with our NGO friends who are able to do the other ends.
So are people, when people are referred there, where did the Fiora's come from? Are they from all over Auckland or South Auckland or based in, or near Papakura only?
Yep, so for that particular area, and looking at just from a mental health perspective, it's people from, I guess, the top of Manurewa, Takanini, Clendon and Papakura area. We do have other community mental health centres similar to that site sprinkled around other parts of the county's locality. But the place that you came to visit and that we're talking about today is primarily the Papakura, Manurewa broader area. The same for public health and community health. Their geography is slightly different, but pretty much the same, the same areas that they cover.
You mentioned Katrina before, so I... Katrina spoke about her family's involvement in mental health, and I think she went off to be to anyways, her career wasn't anything to do with what she's doing now. It was interesting to hear her talk about the history of the place. Do you think you could share with us the history of the place?
So Katrina Wahanui is a key member of our leadership team in mental health services, and her whānau have been long associated in a variety of different ways and different roles over many, many years. Junie and Nelson Wahanui, her parents, were two of the first group amongst a group of people who set up and really focused on Māori mental health way, way back in the day. And it really is that focus on looking at how we can maintain a focus on equity, how we can make sure that we are delivering services for Māori that work for Māori, and where we can, from a workforce perspective, also support Māori to become involved in the health sector. We know it's really important to have Māori at the front door, Māori who understand whānau, who are able to help connect and able to look at how we can provide services that best meet their needs. And the Wahanui whānau has been a key part of that. Afinitia, as we said before, has been around for a long time. And a number of people have been committed to trying to make it a site that feels incredibly welcome. Is a place of safety and a place where people can go and feel well. And that's both from a staff perspective and also from people who are wanting to access our services.
So I'm not sure whether it's going to be challenging for you, Suzanne, but your title is that you're the Service Manager for Māori Mental Health and Integrated Care Services. So how have you been challenged before about being an Irish?
Absolutely. I challenge myself all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of that is, part of it is passion. So I am really proud and really thrilled that under my portfolio, it includes Māori Mental Health, along with there is a child and youth team and three other adult community mental health teams. Part of it is the acknowledgement that we do have a significant Māori population in counties, but particularly in those suburbs that the Affinitia team covers. And nobody can do anything by themselves.
Yes.
So it is all about partnership. It all is about knowing who the key people are who can help make sure you're getting the right advice and who you work alongside to make sure that you're delivering the right services. Katrina, who we've talked about, is somebody who I work incredibly close with, and there's a number of other people too, both within and external to the organization. Part of it's also the real opportunity I've had personally for learning. For learning about te reo, which isn't sometimes my accent, I don't quite get it right, but it's important to try.
Important
to understand the rituals, important to understand the importance when we have a new staff member, that we do pōwhiri, that we do porapōroaku when people leave. And I just think it's a fantastic richness, which is probably one of the reasons why for 25 years I've stayed with counties and I've stayed in mental health, is no 2 days are the same, and I find it very... very enriching. I love it. I love my job otherwise. I wouldn't be there as long as I am.
Well, 25 years. Well, kia ora everyone. You're listening to Well with Anahila. I'm having a conversation with Suzanne Karush. She's the manager of Māori, service manager for Māori Mental Health and Integrated Services, South Services. Yeah, we're just having a conversation about Whenuatea, the community health centre that's had a refit and a reconfiguration. And as you've heard from Suzanne, a integrated service now. So, yeah, we're just having a conversation about Whenuatea community house. And I'm just going to ask Suzanne now, I'm at the point where we've gone past halfway. We're just going to sort of towards the end of the program, and we'll bring it back to Suzanne in terms of what she does for well-being. But I'm going to ask her, why mental health? Why did you take mental health as your to practice your art?
Yeah, good question. The first one, which has to be the honest one, is I had just emigrated, and all the jobs that were being advertised in the paper were for mental health. It wasn't an area that I'd done an awful lot with before. But once I started, I got hooked. And I think it's the opportunity to be able to work alongside people, to be able to recognize that any one of us at any time could have different struggles, different issues, different things that we need help with. And the ability to be able to make a difference and to see, I guess, the opportunities for making a difference with people and empowering people. A lot of it actually isn't necessarily about what I do to somebody, but it's what I can do alongside somebody. And those were very much my early years, and I loved it. And now I've got the opportunity where hopefully I can shape and mold some of the services that we can deliver. It is really important to get feedback. And so in my role, quite often, I do get the compliments and the complaints. I get to hear about the things that don't work so well. And part of the challenge that I strive for is to learn from that and is to figure out how we can provide a better service to the community. The community has changed over the years that I've lived in Manurewa. We've seen a huge change. What Manurewa looks like now isn't what it was 25 years ago. The same is for Papakura and Takanini, and there's new areas popping up all the time. And we have to be adaptive and responsive. And I think it's really important for me that I live in the community, that I have a connection to it. I've got two girls who I'm really proud of, and they're now grown up, but they've been through daycare, through primary, through secondary school. They've experienced it. I've heard what their friends and their parents have experienced. So yeah, I think having that connection is really what inspires me.
I'm getting that warmth and that connection from you, Suzanne, so that's why I ask, why mental health? So the government, one of the priorities the government had announced, or coalition government announced, was that we're taking mental health seriously. I'm going to ask you anyway. How did you react to that? And how are you seeing it happening in the district health space?
I think it's incredibly timely. It's really important. For a number of years, I think mental health still had such a heavy stigma to it. There's been a number of campaigns probably over the last 10 or 15 years that has got us talking about mental health, but probably not so much as we've had over the last couple of years where actually it's front and foremost. You hear about it a lot more. You see stories in magazines. You hear, even storylines through some of our soap operas, weaves in mental health.
Yeah.
And I think anything we can do to reduce the stigma and to get people to ask for help earlier is so much more important. The focus and some of the funding that's come both into secondary services but also into primary care and into local communities is really important. And particularly the ability to work with young people to get them to understand how important mental well-being is and that they can ask for help. A number of new resources, whether it's online apps or mindfulness or different things that people can do for themselves to look after both their physical and their mental health has got to be well received. So I think, yes, from a mental health perspective, the more that people are talking about it, it makes us really happy because it means that it's putting it out there for people to realize it's important to look after.
Yeah, I used to I used to work for Oranga Tamariki, and I used to be a social worker. So when I hear people talk about the profession, I sort of like light up and I warm up to it. When you hear the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern talk about mental health and taking it seriously, but actually putting things in place to address it, how do you feel about hearing those?
It's positive. It has to be positive. It's putting it out there. And I think the more our leaders can be talking about it gives confidence, hopefully, to people who might be struggling with mental health issues but are nervous about coming forward and asking for help, or maybe nervous about talking to their friends or family about the struggles they have. So I think, and I don't quite like the word normalize, but I guess that's what it is. It's putting it out there and it's saying, look, it's a fact of life at different times. All of us may have different struggles and it's okay to ask for help, and there's lots of resources out there to support people.
Yeah, I think the word I like is socializing, that it's okay to ask for help. You know, we've heard the Prime Minister talk about it. I can go and ask for help too. Yeah. So you mentioned the young people. In your 25 years, what have you seen?
Oh, goodness.
in the area of mental health?
It's busy. And I guess it just shows how much pressures there are out there for people. And if we particularly think of our young people, we think of the pressures of, I guess just if we think of what we've just gone through with COVID.
Yes.
It's a prime example of just showing how much our young people are connected to social media. So, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, if something happened in the world, you know, unless you were watching the news, it was kept local, whereas now everything's available 24/7. And I think it's important that we stay in touch with how we stay up to date with how quickly youth are. You know, everything is immediate for them. And there is a lot of pressure. There's a lot of social expectation. And we've definitely seen increase in our services of young people coming through needing support and how we can look at different ways to support them and their families.
And through COVID-19, and at levels 4 and 3 especially, what were you seeing from Whai Ora?
Actually, it was quite interesting. We obviously weren't able to see as many people face-to-face due to all the restrictions. Where it was needed, we absolutely still did, obviously with precautions, but a lot more of our interventions were delivered via Zoom or on the telephone.
Yes.
And the feedback was quite positive. A lot of young people really enjoyed being able to connect with their doctors or their nurses or social workers over Zoom. And they talked about a change in a power imbalance, that it was quite nice that rather than going to the doctor's office or into the health center, that they actually could be in their bedroom or in their lounge. And they felt comfortable because, of course, most young kids are very familiar with using their cell phones or their tablets. we continued, we were busy, but not as busy as we'd obviously previously been. Mm. So it did slow off a little bit during particularly level four. Mm. But as we've moved out back to where we are now, we've definitely seen an increase in referrals and seen that, I guess, some of those pressures and some of the ways in which people were having to live, now that they're back to a little bit more of a reality base, the struggles are coming through. And so we're definitely here to respond to that.
We've got 5 minutes left, Suzanne. One of the questions I ask people is, well, what do you do for your well-being? Some people are on the trampoline, some people walk, music. What do you do?
Good question. My family. I have got a lovely Kiwi husband and, as I said, two girls.
Two girls.
And for me, it's really about spending time with family. We love to travel, so I'm going to have to rethink that one a little bit for the next...
Domestic travel?
Yes, yes. So domestic travel, absolutely, because we won't be able to visit...
It's snowing in Queenstown, it's snowing...
So domestic travel is the new thing to do, as opposed to visiting the extended family around the world. But it's... And reading. I really enjoy reading. Yeah. So, you know, there's nothing better than curling up with a good book, and particularly this time of year, wrapped up in a blanket and doing some reading.
One other, I'm just going to keep asking. What was the last book did you read?
Oh, goodness. it was a Stephen King horror, and I can't remember the name of it. But, yes, it's. I tend to like more of the psychological thrillers. And I guess one of the problems is when I get into a good book, I don't finish. So that's the entire weekend gone. I will just sit and read it from cover to cover. Really enjoyed. I guess it kind of takes me away.
Yeah. We're almost out of time, Suzanne. Is there anything about Afinitia you'd like to share? Or
The last couple of things, look, thank you, is I really just would like to give a huge acknowledgement to the staff. This has been something that we talked about a couple of years ago, but like all good ideas, it takes a little bit of time to come through. And we have actually asked the staff to put up with quite a lot of changes while we've done the various bits of refit. And asking them to work to a new model, which is very much from that integration perspective, and rather than people working in completely separate silos, to actually work together and to sit alongside each other and to look at doing things slightly differently. So I really do want to acknowledge that we have asked our staff to work differently and to put up, you know, with even all the practical stuff of the building, and really appreciate it. And the other acknowledgement would be to MIT, to the horticultural students, and to Paul from MIT. It has been fantastic. We put the idea out there to see if they would like to come into partnership and to do some work with us. Great opportunity for their students, but also a great opportunity for us to look at how we can think about future projects where we link up with students. One, it opens and exposes them to working and thinking about mental health and community health and public health. But also a great way for them to put some practical experience into their learning. And we get to benefit from it because we have a lovely community garden, a lovely walkway. And also I should mention the Tuku Tuku panel that you might have seen at the front.
Yes.
Odell Toy from Toy Art Limited helped create that. It's one of a kind. We wanted something like a Poe or a Tuku Tuku panel. And so we've now got a water feature that's a Tuku Tuku panel with four separate panels. And I just think it's lovely to hear the water kind of cascading over the top. And we've got the Ika, the fish that are hand-painted by some of our staff in Fiora. So hopefully, yeah, it makes for a welcoming place for people who need to come and access our services.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne. And yes, everyone, so that was Suzanne Karushi, is a service manager at Māori Mental Health Service, and I was there a couple of weeks ago into the relaunch or the re-off the Afinitia Community Health Centre refit and reconfiguration, and I definitely got a good feeling about how the place was led well, connected with the staff and the community. And having a conversation with Suzanne, I got that from her, so I just want to take this opportunity to thank you, Suzanne. Thank you for being with us. And in our conversation about mental health, as a government, we are taking mental health seriously. And it is about socialising it or normalising that it is something that most New Zealanders go through, and that there's a when you do go and see your doctor, GP about it, you could, if you live in the area, Papakura, Takanini, Clendon, Manurewa, you might be referred to our Whenuatea program, and then you'll meet people like Suzanne, who works there, and hopefully get to visit the garden. That there has been a great community collaboration. And on that note, that was Well with Anahila this afternoon. Hope you had a great day so far. Ka kite anō.